set a timer for 60 minutes.
Okay, 16 minutes and counting.
Nope. Stop the timer. Stop the timer.
Okay, it's paused.
Start a timer for 60 minutes.
It's already paused.
God damn it, Siri.
Just use your hands.
I'll pretend I didn't hear that.
Yeah. That didn't work. Maybe I didn't enunciate clearly enough.
No. 60 and 16. Can't even tell.
Alright, we have 1 hour and counting. This is a non-traditional episode because of certain conditions forced upon me.
Yeah.
This is season 2, episode 6 of The Grand Cast. I'm your host, Chris N, here this late evening with Mr. Zach Sherporn.
You said bump the table as much as possible, right?
No.
Okay, I must have misheard.
We were going to record on Cinco de Mayo, which is the 5th of May in English, but it's now...
Cinco de Seis.
Seis de Cinco. Close, yeah. Well, maybe in the European format it would be Cinco de Seis. Yeah. Yeah. Nope.
No, I don't know.
Grammatically.
I don't live in Europe, and I don't speak Spanish.
It's two strikes, so...
All I know, it's late on May 5th, well, but early on May 6th.
Exactly. And we have a 1 hour time constraint. So let's just get into it. I'm going to skip goals and mission statements and perfect. All that. And I had a whole informational...
I don't even want to hear.
All right. Well, it's been 1 week since the last episode.
Did I send you that when I was drunk?
No.
That mixtape?
No, you forgot.
I swear to God, it's in my phone right now.
Please send it to me.
I sent it to you. I guarantee you that.
Yeah? You want to wager on it?
Yeah. I sent it to someone, and I'm pretty sure it was you. It
might have been a different Chris.
Talk while I look it up.
Don't tell me what to do.
Right there, buddy. April 29, Nate Fernald.
Sent as text message.
Did it not come through on your end?
No.
Well, I sent it.
No, you didn't.
You want me to resend it?
Yeah, please. There's no delivery confirmation.
All right. It's been
1 week since you received an award at Comedy Outlet Mondays at Dog Story Theater. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Please tell me about that.
I won Com Performer of the Year because I am
2016?
The funniest person in Grand Rapids.
I believe your sincerity.
Thank you.
The next topic I have is fetishes? Question mark. I think you told me to ask you that.
I don't think I did.
I'm pretty sure you did.
When?
I didn't timestamp the note, but that's not something I would ever ask anyone.
I have a lot of fetishes.
Oh.
Do you want me to expound on that?
I have no wants or desires, but if that's what you would like to do, then I'm willing to listen.
I'm into just about everything short of, like, pee and poop stuff. A lot of public stuff. I'm a bit of an exhibitionist.
I've noticed. At Com.
Yeah.
We spoke earlier about having seen the silhouette of your...
My penis.
That's not the term I would have used, but yes.
I also like some light BDSM.
That stands for bagels, donuts, salami, and mascarpone?
Exactly.
Are you on the donut or salami side of the equation generally?
The donut and the salami are the same side.
Oh. I'm not completely, but mostly unfamiliar with the paradigm.
I lean towards the salami side, but I have a bit of a mascarpone side also.
Hmm. Was there anything further that you'd like to discuss in that?
No, I think I'm okay.
Okay.
We have a time limit.
Yeah. And it's not 16 minutes. It's 60.
60 minutes with Morley Safer.
Who?
He was a reporter on the television show on CBS called 60 Minutes.
60.
That was the stopwatch ticking.
I was looking around for a clock.
That plays on 60 Minutes with Morley Safer, who is no longer on 60 Minutes. He may have died, but I'm not sure.
Hmm. Who else is on 60 Minutes?
Andy Rooney was on 60 Minutes. Not to be confused with Mickey Rooney, who once played an Asian man extremely racistly.
Could you please tell me about Space Jam?
Space Jam is the greatest film ever made. Stars Michael Jordan, Wayne Knight, and Bill Murray, along with a cast of familiar characters you may recognize from the Looney Tunes cartoon, and that is Tunes spelled T-U-N-E-S, because Looney Tunes was originally a musical education show. And an alien race comes and steals basketball powers from Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley, Muggsy Bogues, Larry Johnson, aka Grandmama, and Sean Bradley. And these aliens are tiny, but once they steal the powers, they become big monsters. Monstars, even. And they challenge the Looney Tunes to a game of basketball for their freedom. The Looney Tunes know that they can't take these monstars, so they enlist the help of one Michael Jordan, who assists them in winning and keeping their freedom with a dunk from the half-court line, because he can stretch his arms very far. If you'd like to know more about Space Jam, watch it. Or come see me do a spoiler alert on it.
8 days ago from when this will be published.
Yeah.
That's happening Saturday at the Fusebox?
No.
No?
I'm just doing a Ned talk.
Oh, I thought...
I did Space Jam spoiler alert last year for my birthday. Along with Like Mike.
Like Mike?
Like Mike, starring Lil Bow Wow and Jonathan Lipnicki and Morris Chestnut and Crispin Glover.
Ooh, I recognize that name.
And Landry from Friday Night Lights. And Eugene Levy.
Those eyebrows.
Tremendous.
Tremendous. I'm sorry I missed that performance.
It's It's okay. It was my birthday show and no one showed up except Tom Hunt and my family. And Paul Brand and Amanda were there, I think. And my best friend KJ and his fiance, Noel.
The first Noel?
No.
Oh. Well, if there's ever a Space Jam reprisal, I'll try to make sure I get to that.
I'll see what I can do.
I had seen some sort of comments on the Facebook about Space Jam paraphernalia being related to the performance this Saturday.
Oh, yeah. That might have just Ryan been propaganda. Said I could wear my Space Jam outfit, but you I have wasn't an outfit? Planning on... Yeah, I have a Michael Jordan Space Jam jersey.
Vintage?
No.
Replica?
Yeah. And my dear friend Tom Hunt has a Bill Murray Space Jam jersey.
Oh. Is that all you'd care to say about Space Jam at the moment?
I think I'm good.
Please tell me about Lean.
Lean is a popular drug in the hip-hop community. Rappers such as Future, a lot of Southern rappers talk about Lean a lot. And, I mean, I'm not a Lean expert, but it's pretty much codeine. It's like what it boils down to. And you drink it and everything goes very slow. Like my voice right now. But also it's very dangerous. It's one of the most dangerous drugs and it can really mess up your life and you should not do lean.
It's like prescription cough syrup, isn't it?
Yeah, and then you can mix it with stuff and whatever. It's
What is it typically mixed with?
Well, you put it with Sprite so it like tastes better. Stuff like that.
Is there a particular container that it would generally be
consumed from? You do a styrofoam cup. Actually, you double them up usually.
Oh.
There's a lot of debate about why you do that for like insulation purposes or like catching excess. There's no consensus that I've heard so far though. But all I've heard is Hannibal Buress talk about it on his podcast. I haven't done a lot of research.
Oh, what's his podcast?
The Handsome Rambler podcast.
Oh.
It's very funny. He's a very funny individual.
He is. I didn't know he had a podcast, though.
It's uneven at times, but mostly funny.
What do you mean by uneven?
Well, he's not really a podcaster, and it's very loosely structured. And he has, like... sidekicks who help him out, and sometimes it can get a little draggy and at points, but for the most part it gets some interesting discussion and also hilariousness.
Do you enjoy a lot of structure in your life?
I like self-imposed structure. I don't like other people structuring my life for me. But even my own structure, I don't really structure that much. I wake up every morning.
Most people do.
And I schedule my day in my head. And if something goes wrong that throws off my schedule, it's very frustrating. But... I rarely plan more than a few days in advance. I like to improvise my life.
Yeah. We have that in common. Common, who is also a...
Common is a rapper. I don't think he does lean, though.
No?
He's a conscious rapper.
What does that mean?
You send a positive message or like a political message or something.
Hmm. Any further comments on lean? Is it the same as scissorp?
Yeah, purple drank. It all falls under the same umbrella.
And no further comments?
No, I think that's all I have.
Thank you. Tell me about feminism.
Feminism is very important to me. I've been on a feminist journey for like the past 6 months, really like hardcore learning about it, because there was a lot of stuff like I thought maybe I was a feminist, but as I've been studying, like I was never as much of a feminist as I thought. But the biggest thing I found with feminism is just like it's important to listen to people's stories on an individual level. It's important to empathize as much as you can, even though as a man, like, I'll probably never experience the same things. Like, I can still empathize to a certain extent. It's important to just, like, understand the struggles. There's a lot of things men don't think about because we don't encounter them, or if we're with a woman, she won't encounter them because a man is with her. Things like catcalls and stuff. Like, people usually don't catcall a woman when she's walking with a guy. And so guys, a lot of guys think like, oh, maybe that's something that doesn't exist. Or just the general vulnerability of existing as a woman and having to think about what you're wearing and where you have to be at night, and like, because I'm a large man, so I don't have to worry too much at night, like walking around. Like, I feel like I can handle myself, I'm not in danger too much. But a lot of stuff with women is like just, I don't know, feeling vulnerable. So just listening, helping when you can, but not inserting yourself in the conversation too much. I would say that that's probably the big stuff. Just like, something that's helped me a lot is like, if when I'm interacting with a woman and I do something that's like, oh, is that feminist or is that sexist or whatever, I think like, same situation, if this was a man, would I be doing the same thing? And a lot of times, if you think that, you'll find, like, even though I wasn't consciously trying to treat them differently, a lot of times I think you'll find that you do. And I'm still, like, struggling with it, but it's a lifelong journey. And you just gotta stay open to hearing perspectives.
Is one of your goals then to treat everyone equally? Is that part of it?
Yeah, I mean, I came up in a pretty diverse background and stuff, so I've always thought, like, I do treat people as equally as I could, but a lot of stuff is, like, on a subconscious level, just, like, what society pushes on you through media or whatever. Or like influences just growing up from adults in your life or whatever. Like, there's a lot of subconscious or unconscious things that you do, and you think you're treating people equally, but until you actually think about your actions, you don't realize maybe that wasn't.
Was there any sort of like turning point that made you decide to go on that type of journey of exploration, or was it just...
I dressed up for a drag party. Not great, but I wore a dress and makeup. And, it's just like, even as a big guy walking like a block to the party downtown at night, like, I felt scared, like, because I was wearing a dress and stuff. And I, like, when I was leaving, like, someone did, like, catcall me. So maybe I was more convincing as a woman than I thought, but it's a weird thing. I was like, I don't know. It's like a little flattering, but it's mostly like scary. Like, oh, people are just looking at you just for one thing. Like, they're only seeing you as like this one object or whatever of beauty or sexuality. So it was unsettling.
Because that never happens to you in your day-to-day life, generally.
Yeah, like, I've never experienced anything like that. Like, just the dread I felt of walking around, like, that's not something I've ever experienced. Or, like, the fear. Like, I've had fear, but not a fear like that. It's not something I could properly describe.
Do you think if women were more aggressive, that would help shift people's perspectives? Like, if women started catcalling men so they felt what it was like?
It's a tough thing because most men, like, they just do things the way they've always done it and they don't see a problem with it. And if you get aggressive with them, then they take it as like a personal affront and they get like offended and stubborn and they lash out. And so it's tough. It's a long struggle, but I think it's just like picking your battles, figuring out like what's an important thing to try to change, and like reaching out to people who are willing to listen, but some people aren't willing to listen. And it's gonna take a long time, but I think if you keep steadily fighting and things like the Women's March are important, even though people like some people who are against it will like hate on it and stuff, like, it is important to keep those issues at the forefront of the societal consciousness, keep those discussion points open, and also just try to keep a level head as much as you can when you talk about these things. Because like, if you yell at someone, jump down their throat about their views, that's a good way to turn them off. Like, as disgusting as it can be to like try to keep a level head with someone being misogynistic or whatever, that's a lot of times the only way you can get through to them. And it's exhausting, and a lot of times it doesn't work, but you just have to like keep pushing.
Did you see the comic from the oatmeal that I posted onto the Facebook this week? It dealt with the like the broad topic of how an intellectual confrontation causes the same sort of response as a physical confrontation. So when someone tells you that your point of view is wrong, you have the same like fight or flight, like very emotional, like base response that doesn't result in a change of viewpoint.
Yeah, I didn't see that comic, but yeah.
Check it out, the oatmeal.
Okay.
Yeah.
That description makes sense, though. Like, I'm sure, like, anyone listening can think of a time when someone's called them out and you just instantly get defensive and stubborn. I do it all the time still. Like, if someone comes at you in a certain way, with a type of aggression or whatever, you're going to react like you're going to turtle up and like pull back. So it's just about like being compassionate even in the face of a lot of nasty stuff, which is hard and it takes a lot out of you. But it's important to just like find your community and find your allies that can like support you through that. Like I try to do as much as I can to help out, but I know like at the end of the day it's like a woman's issue, and there's a lot of stuff I can't speak to as a man, And I'm not going to pretend to speak to, but what I can do is just support all the women in my life who I really love and appreciate, and like help them, like if they get worn down by it, like keep lifting them up as much as I can so they can fight more than me.
Thank you for sharing that. As one of the resident bad boys of Grand Rapids, I have to ask you, bad boys, what you gonna do when they come for you?
I've thought about this a lot. Because I know someday they are gonna come for me. Because I am too bad sometimes. Too funny. I push the boundary too far. Someday, I'm going to kill someone by laughing too hard at me. And the authorities are going to track me down. And they're going to say, hey, Zach, we're arresting you for murder.
Probably first-degree man's laughter?
Exactly. And I'm, you know what I'll do when that day comes? I've thought about this a lot.
Please enlighten me.
I'm going to hop in my car. And I'm going to go on the craziest car chase ever. Because I know this city like the back of my hand. And I'm sure the cops do too. And I'll probably die at the end of it. But I think I'll die happy. Knowing that I killed someone happy. And that's why this is all happening. I do think about getting a police chase a lot, though.
Yeah?
Like, if I ever am getting pulled over or something, I'm always like... I've never been pulled over in my life because I'm white.
That's why?
Yeah. And so, but I think, like... I've never
been pulled over either. Yeah. And that's...
Check your privilege.
Apparently. I thought it was just because I obeyed traffic laws.
Yeah, that could be part of it, too, but...
Probably not.
I always think, like, could I lose the cops? And I think I could. Just make, like, 3 right turns, and then you're golden. 3 rights and then a left, because they're never expecting that left.
You can outrun the cops, but you can't outrun the radio. I think it's the... Maybe if you make it to one of those paint shops that...
I'm thinking, like, what if they didn't really see my license plate or something, and then I can just... I've heard stories of, like, people getting pulled over, and they just pull into a parking lot, and the cop just drives by.
Oh. Like a Meijer parking lot?
Yeah, they, like, pull into a parking lot to let the cop catch up with them, but the cop doesn't see them turn or something and just keeps going. I don't know.
It could happen.
Yeah.
Please perform Sleepy Gallagher.
Okay, do you want context or do you just want me to go into it?
I just like the whole right into it, I guess. I don't know. What do you want to do?
I'll give a little context so people know. Sleepy Gallagher is a character I did when I won Performer of the Year at COM last week.
I have to pee, so would you mind going over the context while I pee and then go pee. Wait until I'll come back?
Talking. Yeah.
Because I'd really like to hear it again.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
So, you may or may not have heard, but I won Performer of the Year at COM, and I was not able to accept my award in person because I was in character as this character called Sleepy Gallagher. And the genesis of this character was essentially like, what if Gallagher was Gallagher, but just without the energy? And so I was like, okay, I gotta get like a fake mustache and I gotta get suspenders and weird stuff. And it's like, okay, I'm just gonna go out, perform Gallagher bits, but just like low energy, like Gallagher bits in the style of like Stephen Wright or something. And just have it like be, oh, Gallagher's like so depressed and he's like, oh, I want my jokes to stand on their own or whatever. And he's not really prepared with the watermelon and he's just kind of like down on his luck about everything. And I think it came out pretty well. Everyone seemed to love it. Like I could feel the audience, once they were figuring out what was happening, like they started laughing more and more.
I laughed extremely hard the whole time. It was incredible.
So here's Sleepy Gallagher, I guess. You want to introduce me, Chris?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to present to you this... Well, I was going to say this evening, but I don't know what time it is for you right now because this is being recorded and released for on-demand consumption. So it is my pleasure to introduce to you Mr. Sleepy Gallagher.
How we doing, people? I am Gallagher. I had a long flight in. I had to catch the red eye because I missed my flight. And it's like jet lag, right? I'm going to do some jokes for you. And we'll see how it goes. Why are they called apartments when they're all stuck together? Right? What's dumber than a blind person with a gun? The idiot who handed them the gun. Where do you hide from a blind person with a gun? How do you make a noise that ain't like a rabbit? These are all Gallagher bits. Word for word. Our alphabet is based on some kind of a bookkeeper's code to keep Jews and the Egyptians' noses out of the Phoenician cattle business. Is that even a joke? I don't know. Iced tea in the winter time? Why not? Because it's fucking dumb. That's why not. And then you smash something.
Fruit?
Yeah. I saw him do a tube of toothpaste once. This is Zach. I'm back as Zach.
Oh.
Out of character.
I think you have a clementine.
I don't want to smash anything.
I do.
It's a mess to clean up. Do you have a hammer?
Yeah.
I'll smash something if you want.
It's in my car right now.
Oh, okay. Good. Why do you have a hammer in your car?
What? I keep my tool bag in.
Oh. Those are actually Gallagher bits, like word for word. People were paying a lot of money to see him and buying tarps, and the tarp industry was like huge and booming. The whole point was like he would do these jokes that were so bad, but because he smashed something, like people loved him.
What was the Phoenician?
Our alphabet is some kind of bookkeeper's code to keep the Jews and Egyptians out of the Phoenician cattle business.
That was a
joke.
I don't
know what the joke is.
Maybe there was other context.
Yeah, maybe in his set. He strung some bits together, and that was like a callback.
Huh.
Sleepy Gallagher.
Thank you. All right. This next part is called Please Read Me This. I'm trying to get the thing to hand to you. Generally, it would be in the style of spoken word poetry, but
okay.
However you'd like to do it, please.
Seven o'clock in the morning, and the rays from the sun wakes me. I'm stretching and yawning in a bed that don't belong to me. And a voice yells, "Good morning, darling," from the bathroom. Then she comes out and kisses me. And to my surprise, she ain't you. Now I've got this dumb look on my face, like, what have I done? How could I be so stupid to have laid here till the morning sun? Must have lost track of time. Ugh, what was on my mind? From the club, went to her home, didn't plan to stay that long. Here I am, quickly trying to put on my clothes, searching for my car keys, trying to get up on out the door. Then she stretched her hands in front of it, said, "You can't go this way." Looked at her like she was crazy, said, "Woman, move out my way." Said, "I got a wife at home." She said, "Please don't go out there. Lady, I've got to get home." She said her husband was coming up the stairs. "Shh, shh, quiet. Hurry up and get in the closet." She said, "Don't you make a sound or some shit is going down." I said, "Why don't I just go out the window?" "Yeah, except for one thing. We're on the fifth floor." "Shit, think. Shit, think. Shit, quit. Put me in the closet." And now I'm in this darkest closet, trying to figure out just how I'm going to get my crazy ass up out this house. Then he walks in and yells, "I'm home." She says, "Honey, I'm in the room." He walks in there with a smile on his face, saying, "Honey, I've been missing you." She hops all over him and says, "I've cooked and ran your bath water. I'm telling you now, this girl is so good that she deserves an Oscar." Throws her in the bed and starts to snatching her clothes off. I'm in the closet like, "Man, what the fuck is going on?" You're not going to believe it, but things get deeper as the story goes on. Next thing you know, a call comes through on my cell phone. I tried my best to quickly put it on vibrate, but from the way he acted, I could tell it was too late. He hopped up and said, "There's a mystery going on, and I'm going to solve it." And I'm like, "God, please don't let this man open this closet." He walks in the bathroom and looks behind the door. She says, "Baby, come back to bed." He says, "Bitch, say no more." He pulls back the shower curtain while she's biting her nails. Then he walks back to the room. Right now, I'm sweating like hell. Checks under the bed, then opens the dresser. He looks at the closet. I pull out my Beretta. He walks up to the closet. He comes up to the closet. Now he's at the closet. Now he's opening the closet.
That was chapter one.
R. Kelly, the legend. The
And then, if you could please read me this.
Absolutely. Now he's staring at me like as if he was staring in the mirror. She yells, "Honey, let me explain." He says, "You don't have to go no further. I can clearly see what's going on behind my back, in my bed, in my home." Then I said, "Wait a minute. Now hold on." I said, "Mister, we can work this out." She said, "Honey, don't lose control." Tried to get him to calm down. He says, "Oh, I should have known." that you would go and do some bogus shit up in my house, but the Christian in me gave you the benefit of the doubt. I said, we need to resolve this. And he stepped to me. I'm like, whoa, there's a reason I'm in this closet. He says, yeah, what are you talking about? Clothes? I met this girl at the Podgy's Club, and she told me she didn't have a man. Then he said, man, please, I'd kill you if you didn't have that gun in your hand. And then I said, but your chick chose me. He said, don't give me that Mac shit, please. His phone goes off, and then things get a little more interesting. He steps a little closer. I point my gun and say, I'm not the one you're after. He says, it's not my bet. You didn't know my man. Did she tell you I was a pastor? I said, well, good. That's better, right? Why can't we handle this Christian-like? I started to put the gun down till I saw his face had a frown. She started crying, saying, baby, I'm sorry. Then he said, baby, not as sorry as you're gonna be. I started inching out. He says, no, I want you to see this. Said, I gotta get out this house. He said, not till I reveal my secret. I'm like, what's going on inside his head? Then he takes his phone and calls somebody up and says, hello? Hello? Baby? Yeah? Turn the car around. What's going on? What's wrong? I just need for you to get right back here now. Click. He looks at me and says, well, since we're all coming out the closet, I'm not about to be the only one brokenhearted. She said, what do you mean? He said, just wait and see. I said, somebody better talk to me. And then his phone rings. He picks up. And somebody says, sweetheart, I'm downstairs. And he's like, I'll buzz you up. I'm on the 5th floor. Hurry, take the stairs. And I'm like, yo, who is this mystery lady that you're talking to? He says, in time, you both will know the shocking truth. Baby, this is something I've been wanting to get off my chest for a long, long time. Then I said, I'm going to shoot you both if you don't say what's on your goddamn mind. He says, wait, I hear somebody coming up the stairs, and I'm looking out the door. He says, I think you better sit down in a chair. I said, I'm going to count to 4. 1. He says, Mr. Wait. 2. She says, please don't shoot. 3. He says, don't shoot me. 4. She screams, then a knock at the door, the gun's in my hand. He opens the door. I'll be God fucked up like shit, fuck it. A man coming to fuck me up and give me head fuck. He opens the door. I can't believe it's a man.
Thank you. That was
Robert Kelly, the legend.
Chapter 2.
We've all been trapped in a closet in our lives.
Yeah? You feel like you've been trapped in a closet?
Everyone.
Well, if you wouldn't mind, please read me this.
Well, here we are, 4 of us in total shock, me and her. I close my mouth and swallow spit as I'm thinking to myself, this is some deep shit. Then I said, so you're gonna tell me he's the one you've been talking to? He says, yes. I says, no. He says, yes. I says, no. He says, it's the truth. I yell, all y'all asses crazy. Let me up out this door, because this is way more than I bargained for. And then she says, wait. I'm sure we can all fix this. Then I said, I'm late, because I ain't got a damn thing to do with this. Then she said, wouldn't you like to know just how it all began? And I thought to myself and said, quick, you got 3 minutes. Then it got real quiet. I said, somebody start talking. Then she said, my God, Rufus, I got just one question. How could you do something like this? I'm so hurt. He looked at her and said, "Bitch, please, you got your nerve with all your club popping, lying, saying you was shopping. Now here you are in our home and you calling me wrong?" She said, "Okay, you busted me. And that much I agree, you caught me cheating, but this a little extreme. He said you are my wife sleeping behind my back. And now I come home, you got him in the closet? How extreme is that?" She says, "But she's a he." Then he says, "Please, you can't judge me." She says, "Rufus, this is crazy." And I said, "Stop arguing. I did not stay here to hear y'all chew each other out, so get to the point, or I swear I'm out. Excuse me, please, but I think I can explain what's going in here. My name is Chuck, and I've been knowing Rufus for about a year. At midnight, creeping around with him has been a living hell, sneaking in and out of hotels." I said, "Brother, spare me the details." Then Rufus said, "Chuck, please, don't say nothing else." Then she screams, "Rufus, you son of a bitch!" And he says, "Kathy, go to hell." I said, "I thought your name was Mary. That's what you said at the party. Man, this is getting scary. I'm gonna shoot somebody." Then Rufus starts yelling and screaming, saying, "Kathy, this is all your fault." She throws a pillow at him and says, "You was creeping too. The only difference is you didn't get caught." Chuck screams out, "We're in love." Kathy says, "Love my ass. Rufus say they get married. Then I shoot one in the air." And I say, "Not another one of you sons of bitches say a word, because all this shit I'm going through is unheard. Grab my cellular, saying, this is so wrong. Call up my home," and a man picks up the phone. This is truly one of the greatest dramas of all time.
Yeah.
The Trapped in the Closet saga.
The what?
The Trapped in the Closet saga.
Yeah.
I think it's up to like 56 chapters now.
We're probably going to need more than an hour.
Yeah.
Have you... There's a Weird Al parody. An animated video.
I have not seen it.
Trapped in the Drive-Thru, I think, is...
Oh, I don't like Weird Al that much.
You would probably like this, though.
There's an American Dad parody of it, too. That's very funny.
I don't know if I've seen that one.
Trapped in the Locker.
Was Steve
Locker? Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's a nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good show.
I love American Dad.
Yeah. I think, for me, definitely more than Family Guy.
Oh, for sure. I go American Dad 1, Cleveland Show 2, then Family Guy.
Did you see A Million Ways to Die in the West?
No.
It was really funny.
Yeah?
It was Seth MacFarlane's spoof on the Western genre. Was,
yeah. I just never got around to seeing it.
It's worth watching. It was funny. Not quite Blazing Saddles funny, but...
But what is?
It had its moments. Yeah. The next part is, please read me this.
Okay. Now I'm dashing home, doing 85, swerving lane to lane with fire in my eyes. I've got a million thoughts going through my mind. I'm thinking about what I'ma do and who I'm gonna do it to when I get home. How could I have been so blind? Now look in my rear view, I cannot believe this. Woo, woo, woo. Damn, here comes a policeman. He drove right up on me and flashed his light. Then I pulled over without thinking twice. He hopped out the car and walked over to me and said, "License and registration, please." I looked up at him and said, "Officer, is there something wrong?" He said, "No, except you were doing 85 in a 60-mile zone." Then I said, "Officer, let me explain, please. You see, the truth of the matter is that I have an emergency." He said, "No excuses and no exception." He flips his cigarette and then gives me the ticket. said, "Have a nice day," and walked away. I said, "Yeah, right," and drove away. Then I turned my radio on and did 70 all the way home. I pulled up in the driveway, hopped out and slammed the car door. Then going through the back, bust up in the house, and she's screaming, "What's all that for?" Then I'm like, "Woman, I called this house," and a man picked up my phone. Then she said, "Calm down. Did you forget my brother Twan came home?" "Oh." And that's all I could say was, "Oh," with a stupid look on my face. Said, "I forgot he came home today." And she said, "That's okay, because honey, I understand." She said, "You don't have to explain." Then I took her by the hand, I kissed her, and we went to the room. Then I turned some music on, apologized one more time, then went down and started getting it on. And she started biting her lip, grabbing me and making noise. Now we making love, and she's whispering, "It's all yours." And I said, "I love you." And she said, "I love you too." Then a tear fell up out my eye. Then I called her my sunshine. And then she looked at me and said, "Baby, go deeper, please." And that's when I started going crazy, like I was trying to give her a baby. The room felt like it's spinning. We turning and turning as if we in a whirlwind. The way our toes are curling. Next thing you know, she starts going real wild and starts screaming my name. Then I said, "Baby, we must slow down before I bust a vessel in my brain." And she said, "Please, no, don't stop." And I said, "I caught a cramp." And she said, "Please keep on going." I said, "My leg's about to crack." And she cries out, "Oh my goodness, I'm about to climax." And I said, "Cool, climax. Just let go of my leg." She says, "You're the perfect lover." I said, "I can't go no further." Then I flip back the cover. Oh my God, a rubber?
Oh my God.
R. Kelly, the king of the cliffhanger.
Yeah. The transitions between the chapters are
amazing.
Yeah. The way he builds suspense and anticipation. You can't help but like go on to the next chapter.
I know. You have one to after watch the other all after back the to other. Back to back.
Yeah. It's really too bad that he likes to pee on little girls.
Yeah, I separate the art from the artist.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You listen to Chris Brown then?
I've never liked Chris Brown's music. Or his acting.
What about Rihanna?
I like Rihanna.
Yeah, me too.
She does Hips Don't Lie, right? That's Shakira. That was a joke.
Oh. I don't know a lot of like the titles of songs.
I can tell.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh. I like Shakira too.
Yeah, me too. She's Colombian.
Yeah? Do you prefer her English songs or Spanish songs?
I don't listen to a lot of them. I just know I like her. I stayed with a Colombian guy at an Airbnb once, and he talked about Shakira a lot.
So yeah?
Yeah, I like her.
The final segment here is called Please Read Me This.
Okay. I was not expecting that at all.
Oh.
And now I'm like, well, what the fuck is this? A condom in my bed? You better start talking, bitch. For I burn this motherfucker down. I said, "You better start talking. Start talking right goddamn now." And she said, "Baby, I'm so speechless." And I said, "My baby, you gonna be breathless if you don't start talking quick. Woman, I'm gonna have a fit. You don't know what you fucking with, girl. You better cut the bullshit." Now it's obvious. Somebody has been all up in my home, in my bed, and plus I smell cigarettes. Now, and sniffing and looking around, suspicious like someone's here. Then I looked in her eyes, and in her eyes there was so much fear. Pull out my gun, said, is he still here? She shook her head and said, no, I'm checking behind every door. She cried out, he left right after you called. I said, what the fuck was you thinking? You thought that I wouldn't find this out? Then she said, you must be crazy or I'm cracked to have somebody off up in my motherfucking house. She hopped up and said, that's enough. She said, I can't take no more. And then she said, you made your point, but now it's time to even the score. She said, I know all about last night and where you went when you left the club. Said, that's right, N-word, I was there with the guy in the back of the club. I said, I thought you was with your girls. She said, I thought you was with your guys. She said, you was at that bitch's house, and don't even try to act surprised. Said, babe, she said, shut up. Don't you say a word. It ain't nothing you can't say that I ain't already heard. And I said, woman, don't you try to turn it all around, because the fact still remains that someone else was in my house. And she said, you're right about that. Something did go down, but I don't have to turn it around, because what goes around comes around. I'm moving a little closer to her. She's tripping over the furniture. She said, wait first, just let me explain. I said, no need to, just give me his name. And then she said, I say, a what? She said, please sit down in a chair. And I say, no, I'm standing up. And she cries out, I'm so scared to tell you because of what you might do. And I scream, look, girl, you better give me this man's name, and I'm not playing with you. She says, okay, wipes her nose, and asks me about the girl named Tina. I thought to myself, said it sound familiar. I said, I probably know her if I seen her. Then I say, anyway, girl, what the hell does that got to do with this man? She said, he named my girl Roxanne. I said, who the hell is Roxanne? And she says, Roxanne's a friend of mine. He named this guy named Chuck. Chuck's cool with this guy named Rufus. And I'm sitting here like, what the fuck? Then she says, Rufus' wife, Kathy. We both went to high school. She introduced me to the policeman that stopped you.
Dun dun dun.
Everything ties together somehow. It's like foreshadowing and like...
It's like a tapestry being woven. It's like Arrested Development,
but of drama.
And so much more lyrical.
I know. And great singing voice, too.
I always wondered what it would be like if Trapped in the Closet was performed by... like...
Keith Urban.
And his brother.
A host of other accents.
Yes. A British version of the production.
Yeah, it started as like high British and then moved to more Cockney. And then the Cockney blended into Australian a little bit. I lost track of it.
That was nice. We'll have to do another episode with another...
just all read.
Like 10 chapters. Yeah. And then another episode. And then probably like 5 more episodes.
Yeah, there's a lot of chapters now. Like the original, I think the original was like 13. And then like the kind of original got up to like 26-ish. But then like in the last couple of years, he added like a bunch more.
Oh, maybe there's some I haven't even seen yet.
Yeah, I haven't even watched them. I can't imagine the quality is, like, great.
it was really good for the first like
three. Yeah, and then a midget showed up and it's like, okay, Kells.
That's what that crossed the line for you?
It's just like after a certain point, what more can you do? It's like in superhero movies when they set up this villain, like, oh, this is like the greatest villain ever. Then they're like, they set the bar too high for themselves, and then they have to invent an even greater evil. Or like the Hulk, like, oh, in the comics, the Hulk is like invincible, or like Flash too. It's like they've made them too powerful, so now you have to come up with an enemy to match that, and it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to make like the lesser enemies credible. R. Kelly did that with the drama. It's like it got too juicy.
Set the bar too high.
Yeah, and then he can't like you can't get it go any further than this crazy love octagon or something. I don't even know.
So you think he's jumped the shark? At this point,
yeah, I think so. Like, I
somewhere between like
he's still like a crazy character. Like, I saw a headline the other day.
Oh,
okay, hold that thought. Time's up.
Thank you for being here tonight, Josh. Thank you, Josh. Josh was here tonight.
That was a Freudian slip.
Oh my goodness! Thank you for being here tonight, Zach. Thank you for listening, Josh. And thank you for being here tonight, Josh, to film the hot sauce
and
segment.
And Tom.
And both Toms. We'll be back again next week with an all-new episode of The Grand Cast.
Bye.
Oh, I was going to stop there, but...
No, stop it.
We're over an hour now.
I wanted the bye to be like the last.
Oh, you want to do it again?
Yeah. Bye.
Undercovers, watch me suffer while you buffer, while you stutter. I'm discovering your mother, get some blubber. Lob it in the crock pot, I'm in a top-notch hot spot. Chopping every dude that I see with a tough knot. I'm unhinged. My gossip is the juiciest. I'm unstable, about to blow up in the spot like Vesuvius. With dubious intentions and deadline extensions. Spaced out, pay attention when my name gets mentioned.
Make it when you come. Make it when you go. When the time has come, don't come help, you know.